TheYeshiva.net.
Hey, welcome everybody. Baruchim Abayim. Thank you for gracing us. Today's class is gratefully dedicated by Reb Menachem Abrams and his family. In tribute and honor of all of our Israeli soldiers fighting on the front lines to protect the Jewish people and all of the volunteer organizations helping our brothers and sisters. Hashem Yishmar Tseisam Avoya Me'ata V'Adaylam. Amen. Thank you very, very much, Reb Menachem, and Atzlachi Rabba. We are holding, I believe, Seif Tes, page 296. 296, Perek Tes, the ninth chapter. Valze Amar Moshe. Okay, so in the last class, we went on from focusing on Nefesh Ruach Neshama to focus on Chaya Yechida. The soul has five names, five dimensions, Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya Yechida. And as explained, Neshama is primarily connected to Seichel, understanding, especially Bina. Ruach is connected primarily to Midas, which is the emotional experience. Nefesh is connected to the liver and its actualization. All the elements that are connected to behavior and action. And each one is a special koyach in the nefesh. There's the part, there's a fuse of the soul that processes reality through seichel. There's the fuse of the soul that processes reality through midas. There's the dimension of the soul that processes reality and is focused on, is sensitive to behavior. That's called nefesh. And we spoke about it both in the nefesh alikis, in the divine soul, and the nefesh abahamas, in the animal soul. And how the communication between the two happens. And he went on to explain at length the whole part of davening, of Atu Hashem Levadecha, all the way to Hashem choosing Avraham Avinu and giving him the seven tribes, the seven countries, the seven nations within Eretz Yisrael, Vatakim Es Dvarecha Ki Tzadik Ata, making a covenant that all of these seven tribes should be given over to Avraham Avinu, which spiritually, every nekuda in Torah is not just a physical thing, but it's a spiritual thing, represents the seven middas of the animal soul, that the seven middas can be conquered. And when you conquer a nation, what does conquer mean? Conquer mean? It means you don't just destroy it, you transform it. There's two types of conquering. I conquer a country, you could just destroy the country and leave it with rubble and debris and move away. Just another churva, like Ira Nidachas. And you don't rebuild it. But real conquest means you transform it. It becomes part of your territory. It becomes part of your malchus, part of your kingdom. U'malchuse b'kol mashallah. When they conquered the seven tribes, they all became Eretz Yisrael. It became part of Eretz Yisrael. With the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. That became the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. So what that represents spiritually is something very, very profound. The ability to be able to work with the animal soul and its seven middas to transform it. V'atokim es dvarecha ki tzadik ato. The main point was, there is a seder avoida of rejecting the sparks, of saying, this is not for me. But v'atokim es dvarecha, because you're a tzadik, tzadik is midas hayisoy toiv, imru tzadik ki toiv, you want to always rescue and liberate and bring out the goodness, so therefore v'atokim es dvarecha, you raised, you rescued, you emancipated the Dvarecha, the Dvar Hashem, the divine word and energy within each one of these seven Midas, because behind every emotion and instinct and pattern, there is a Dvar Hashem. There's an energy, like we also learned in Basi Lagani, Erein Saif Lamata Adin Tachlis, that Va'ata Mechaya is Kulam, Va'ata is Aleph Tav He, the letters from Aleph through Tav with the He, which are the five Mitzayas HaPeh, the five sources in the mouth from which we articulate all of the 22 letters. There's Hey Mitzayas HaPeh, that's Aleph Tav Hey, that's what it says in Tanya. That's Va'ata Mechaya Eskula. And that reaches all the way L'mata Mata Adin Tachlis. So V'atokim Es Dvarecha. This is a continuation to that idea. You have raised up your words. You raised up your words. Meaning, instead of the words being dormant and becoming repressed and becoming distorted through the shells, through the husks, you have liberated them, you have emancipated them, that the true inner divine core behind all the shells of these middas can become revealed, and that's how you transform the seven middas. Every middah is serving some purpose. There's a reason for it. It's not stam in a vacuum. And when one really gets down to the core of it, there's an opportunity for healing, and even there's an opportunity for unburdening, there's an opportunity for healing, and there's an opportunity even for transformation, which is ultimately a major part of the avodah of a person. Then he went into the union of Chaya Yechida. Chaya is already higher than Neshama. And he explained at length, there's the difference of understanding something, which is also understanding it very clearly. We're not talking about, fake news, fake understanding. We're talking about understanding, but still, understanding by definition is somebody else telling me a story. It's like my mind happens to be somebody else, but so to speak. In other words, proofs don't give you the reality. They tell you about a reality that lives somewhere else. Reality itself, this is what we call seeing is believing. Hakara, not just hasaga, but hakara. Like I explained the difference of simanim and tvias ayin in Eila Metzias. Some people started to learn Masechas Baba Metzias. It's going to become very relevant, the difference of simanim and tvias ayin. And that's the difference of hasaga, comprehension, and hakara, recognition. And as he explained, when I hear a story from somebody else, or I deduce something through logical proofs, it may be very powerful and very compelling. But there's always an opportunity for another side. Kashya, Teyufta. Somebody else could come and contradict the story. Like Adam Zimmerman, right? They say, Imanu Yisam. How can Besdin believe these two witnesses that this and this happened when there's two other witnesses who say that these witnesses were with us in Australia that night? It couldn't have been true. So now I don't know. I'm left hanging. I don't know. I believed you. Now I got to believe you. And even if it's my logic, there's questions. Many, many a theory, many, many an idea, many hypotheses that have seemed very, very consolidated and powerful. And then a new instrument was revealed, or a new revelation emerged, or people have grown to think out of the box, and everything is refuted, or certainly expanded, or updated, or upgraded, and so forth. So as powerful as it is, ultimately, it's vulnerable in the sense that it can also be refuted. It's in that realm. Yeah.
But without the proofs, per se, there's no way to talk about reality altogether.
Right.
So it's essential in a way.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Dialogue serves a tremendous purpose, and sometimes it's the beginning of introducing a new reality or a new concept of reality. And then there's a deeper level, called Hakara, recognition. He calls it Das Chazak, and which can ultimately lead to something that's called Re'iyah de Chachma. It's like somebody seeing something. When I see it, you can ask me 1,000 questions. It's not going to change the reality. And the reason it's not going to change the reality is not because I'm stubborn, but because my connection to it is of a different nature. It's of an intimate. He says, like the child telling a child, this is your father, this is your mother. Yeah. It's not a proof, a logical proof. Even a child at an age where they're not shaykh to that types of svara. There's a visceral experience of this is my father and this is my mother. And even as we become older, that remains, even though now I can also have proofs. And relative to that experience, the proofs become not nothing there. They're significant, but they become irrelevant to the intensity of the relationship and the experience, as we discussed at length. Spiritually speaking, this is the concept of chaya, the ability of the soul of re'iyah de chachma, a recognition that is much deeper than the recognition that comes from understanding. It's a recognition that comes from when you see something, it's completely from within, and the authenticity is irrefutable. Then there's something yichida. And he explained that the difference of the bittel of chaya is a bittel atzmi versus a bittel hayesh, what he called it, a bittel that comes from outside, or a bittel that comes from within. Then there's something called Yechida. What's Yechida? This was the big idea. Yechida is a completely different dimension. It's the fifth dimension of the soul. We call it the quintessential core of the soul. quintessence is a very good word. Essence means the essence of something. Quint in Greek is five. Quint is five, huh? Yeah, like quintuplets. So quint is five. So actually here that works well, quintessence, because yichid is number five. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya. And yichid actually works very well. The quintessential core of the soul. And it's called yichid from the word yachid. Yachid, which means one, singular, yichid liyachdach, chavuka dvuka bach. And he says here, there's lechatchila no other mitzvahs that you have to be mevatel. Mitzad yichid, there's no other mitzvahs, there's no other reality outside of atzmus samahus ein sof. And therefore, it's not like in the other madregas, even chaya. Where chaya, there's a relationship that is deeper than just emotion, and deeper than just seichel. It's a relationship of the person seeing something, the person connecting to something in a very, very intimate way, very deep. And as we discuss what emunah means it's something that a question doesn't weaken it and an answer doesn't strengthen it. Not because questions and answers are not important, but because they don't touch that realm of experience. Questions and answers deal with the world of seichel, and we have to respect that, and there's an integrity to that. But then there is transcending even that space, not because you're afraid of seichel, but because seichel can only do what it does best, which is figure things out intellectually, and thus bring and define reality from that perspective. And it's very valuable in that sense. But it doesn't have the ability to give you the experience, the intimate, the visual, visceral, spiritual experience of Ein Sof itself. This, the neshama needs chaya. That's higher, it's a higher, it's a transcendent experience. Yichida, but here, even here, as he gave from, said from Imre Bina, there's the ayin that comes to be mevatel the yesh, and then there's the ayin be'etzim. In Yechidusha Benefesh is the core of the soul, which is rooted in the core of Atzmos. There's no struggle with the Nefesh of Bahamas. Why? Because L'chatchila, everything is one. That's the level of Chavuka Dvuka Bach. Yechidu L'yachtach, you don't even call it Bittel, because Bittel means you're being Mevatel something. You're nullifying something. Here he says, there's L'chatchila no other Metzias that you have to be Mevatel. There's no other mitzvahs. Mitzat atzmus ein sof. Everything is subsumed in that reality. And therefore, mitzat yechidah is an absolute oneness that is completely all-encompassing, and it brings together all the faculties and all the thoughts and experiences and instincts of the soul. On the other levels, I can't bypass the other levels and say everything is one. As we said many times, when I do that prematurely, I'm just fooling myself, and it's going to backfire, right? It means either I'm disassociated or I'm disconnected from myself, so everything is one. Or I don't understand what oneness is. But yichidah is already deeper than nefesh, and deeper than ruach, and deeper than neshama, and deeper than chaya. On the other hand, it's not different than them. It's the essence of all of them. It's the yichidah of nefesh, it's the yichidah of ruach, it's the neshama, chaya, it's the etzem, it's the essence of everything. Essence is the essence of everything. It doesn't negate, it doesn't compete. And we explained the different four parts of Torah. You have four parts of Torah. You have nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya. And each one explores another layer of reality. Remember, Torah is the blueprint of the universe. So whatever exists in the universe exists first in Torah. Whatever exists in Torah is manifested in the universe because it's the blueprint. It says in Medrash, Shem looked into the Torah and created the blueprint. So therefore, different dimensions of Torah capture and embody different layers of reality. It's like you have a microscope that can really zoom into different spectrums of reality, different layers of reality. And each one is real. Pshat is real, and Emes is real, and Drush is real, and Sod is real. It's Bria, it's Atsiya, and Yitzida, Bria, and Atzilus. Yechida doesn't zoom into one layer. It captures the Yechida, the Atzmius of it. And there, the Ein Sof emerges, which includes everything. It's the Etzem of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya. When that comes out in the soul, yeah, it's not an inyan of bittel, of surrendering something, because there's l'chatchila no metzias outside of Ein Sof. It's like God doesn't have to surrender to God. It's completely one inyan. That's the chiddush of yechida. He says, just like you have it in Kedusha, zel umma za'asa elikim. So the concept of chaya, yechida, which is beyond nefesh, ruach, neshama, you have also in unholiness, and that's what Amalek represents. And as he explained it, there's two forms of arrogance. There's an arrogance, you remember, that's based on seichel. There's an arrogance that's not based on seichel. The same is true with hatred. There's a hatred. It's wrong, but it's somehow rational. In my own mind, I construe rational ideas that justify this hate. I may be wrong, I may be deceptive, I may be miscalculating. Yeah, my mind may be playing games with me, I may have been fed wrong information, I may be suffering from other things. But somehow, in my own mind at least, there is a justification, there is a basis for this arrogance. He says sometimes people are very successful. And they're very successful, they're very talented people, they're very resourceful, they're very successful. And they start, it gets to them. You could say it's not al pi seichel at all, it's al pi seichel. They're making a bad mistake, it's going to backfire, they're going to become miserable. But that's why the Navi has to say, al yishal el chacham b'chachmasai, gibor b'gvurasai, asher b'ashrai. Why does the Navi have to say it? You're talking a very intelligent person, you're a brilliant man, you're a very powerful person, and you're a very wealthy person. And when you walk into a room, everybody is busy bowing down to you. And what happens is you start believing them. You start believing them, right? That's the story of Haman. Everybody is bowing down to them. You start believing them. Why did he go crazy for Mordechai? Imagine you're a person and every human being who sees you goes koidim for you. Every person. Imagine wherever you walk around, yeah, everybody wants a picture with you. Everybody wants your autograph. It's the biggest honor for you to come to their bar mitzvah, to come to their event, to come to their dinners like winning the Nobel Prize. And not only that, the Melech said everybody has to bow down to you. And that's what happens. Yeah, Kein Siva HaMelech. Yeah. Later, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Achashverosh commanded, yeah. So, and it's amazing. And everybody, so any subject in the Persian Empire sees Haman, prostrates himself. It's Hishtachva. It's not just you nod, you know, like. Yeah, they went down on the knee, they kneeled, and they prostrated themselves. Now there was one Jew, an old man, his name was Mordechai, right? And when he saw Haman pass, he was sitting with a Gemara, either Masechta Baba Kama, or Masechta Chulin, or Masechta Zvachim, right, with his glasses, and reading it. And when he looked at her, he took a look, right? He gave him a look, and he went back to the Gemara. So Haman decided that he has to kill the entire nation. Why? Because one man, one stubborn Jew, is not bowing down to him. How crazy do you have to be? Yeah. The pshat is that Haman knew that Mordechai has it right. Mordechai was the only one who had it right. And Haman knew Haman wasn't stupid. Nobody was mechashish. Chashver says was a tippish. But Haman, it doesn't say he was a tippish. He even knew the Jewish calendar better than most Jews. Moshe's Yartzeit. He knew what's going on, Haman. He was a very deep person. Huh? K'mitzah, Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom. But when he saw Mordechai, he knew that everyone is busy lying. The whole world is lying. This man is actually real. And that drove him crazy. Because he knew he's the only one who's authentic. And there's nothing you can do to destroy authenticity. Right? Like the Kotzker Rebbe once said, Gevaldik Avoid, it says in Medrash that when Hashem created the world, there was a split. Chesed Amar Yibare, and Emes Amar Al Yibare. Truth said, don't create the world because it's full of lies. And Chesed said, no, people will do Chesed, create the world. And then there was another debate between Tzedek and Shalom. Tzedek said, yeah, because there'll be Tzedakah, and Shalom said, everybody will be fighting, don't create the world. So what do you have? So you have two against two. So what do? So Hashem took MS and he threw it away. So now it's two against one. So 2-1, win. Right? If you have a court split, 2-2, so you take one of the judges, yeah, you kill him. And now you have 3, so it's good, gewaldig. So it says Hashem took MS, v'yishlich alaret, he threw it into the earth. That's why it says MS, me eretz titzmach. MS is deeply, deeply buried in the ground. We're looking for it everywhere. And, you know, it's 5 feet under, maybe 100 feet under. So now it's great. Now you have Chesed and Tzedek against Shalom. 2-1. Achir Abnat is God creates the world. It's a very funny medrash. It's in Parshas Bereishis. Parsha Ches. Amr Reb Simon. Reb Simon said that this happened. The Kotzke Rebbe said, ask the Shaila. So there's a lot of depth there. There's a maimer from the Alter Rebbe about it also, what's pshat in the Siddur, in his Siddur. But Kotzke Rebbe said, why did Hashem... It's logical.
It's because there's no
Hamasel
type of Hashem, so it's still
so he asked the Shaila, why did he have to throw away Emes? Why didn't he throw away Shalom? There were two to throw away. Why did he get rid of Emes and not keep Emes? Then throw away Shalom, will still be two against one. Why was Emes the victim? Why was Shalom not the victim? That's what the Kotzke Rebbe said. You have Emes against Tzedek and Chesed. It's still two against one. So he said something amazing. He said, when you have Emes, it's irrelevant if it's two against one. It could be 2 billion against one. The one is going to win. Achrei Rabim Lahatis means, right? Achrei Rabim Lahatis doesn't mean the majority is right. Majority is not right. Majority is not right. It was one of the Antifadas, the head of the UN, said, are you going to tell me that the whole world is wrong and Israel is right? Yes, sir. Yeah. And when the whole world was quiet about the Holocaust, was the whole world wrong and the Jewish people were right? Yes, sir. You sometimes have a community that's covering up horrible things. And then there's one meshugana that's screaming, right? You're going to tell me there's one person is right and everybody is wrong? Yeah, they're a bunch of criminals. Or they're scared, whatever they are, whatever you want, they're scared. The moment you have MS, it's not like, hey, you can bring me a billion votes, I don't care. MS is going to win, because it's MS. Avart, huh? That's why he couldn't keep Emes here. With Emes, it's not two against one. Shalom already. Shalom, okay, two against one. Shalom. But Emes is a different Indian. It's passed for the Kotzke Rebbe also. This was his... It's very important to understand in life. Democracy is a very important, beautiful thing. Achrei Rabim Lahatis is a mitzvah in the Torah. Achrei Rabim Lahatis means when we're not sure what's Emes. So you have a Sanhedrin, and you have 71 people, and you take a vote, and you have to go Achrei Rabim, and that's the halacha. B'Shamay and B'Shillel, the reason the halacha is like B'Shillel is because the majority of the Sanhedrin passing like B'Shillel. And that's how it works. And that becomes the Ratzon Hashem. But it's a t'nai, yeah, that they're searching for Emes. They're not ignoring the Emes. If you're ignoring the Emes, I don't care if you have 7 billion Sanhedrin, it's irrelevant. They're all corrupt. They're a bunch of criminals. Kasher Rishoyim Einem in Aminyan, the Gemara says. If you have a Sanhedrin of Rishoyim, it's not a Sanhedrin. It's a Kesher, it's called Kasher Rishoyim, a bond of gangsters. How did I get into this? I forgot. Oh, Mordechai, yeah. So Haman knew that. You can have a million people bowing down to you. It's like people with marriage, right? The whole world bows, celebrities, the whole world bows down to them besides their wife. So they get divorced. Why do you have to get divorced? Because you know your wife got it right. Everybody else is busy bowing down to you. Your wife is the only one who tells you the truth. Nebiyid, go, take out the garbage. What do you mean? 50,000 people just worshipped him at a concert? 50,000 people were ready to flatter him, Ad Yom HaLaila, and now take out the garbage. The Rebbe Ayatz writes that people would come to the city of Lubavitch, to his father, to the Rebbe Marash, to the Tzemach Tzadda. So some were very, very chashva people. He said the first bitush they got, which was very healthy to be able to come experience a lakus. He said there was no train station over there. There was a train station nearby. If you know a little bit, Belarus, it's really third world country, Ad Hayom. So there's a little shtetl. Lubavitch is a shtetl. It's still a shtetl. I was there once, a bunch of chickens roaming around with a few farmers living there. Because the Germans destroyed everything. So there was a train station nearby, I think a place called I forgot the city, a larger city where there was a train station. Huh? I don't remember. So from there there were Balei Agolos, like we have taxi drivers by the airports, you know, Ubers by the airports, or yellow cabs. So there were Balei Agolos, coach people, who would when the people were coming off the stancia, the train, they would take them on the wagon and they would bring them to the city of Lubavitch. So he says there was one of the Balei Agolos there. It's called Peshet the Balagola. So he was durach geweckt with, in his own way, he was durach geweckt with chassidus. So he was, so Chash Rabbi was coming, he said, Rebel, Rebel, nem dein pekel und chab se charuf auf dem Wagen. Take your bag and come onto the wagon. This was, this was the healthy initiation. So when you have the Midas HaEmes, it's irrelevant how much opposition you have. So B'meila, Haman, it drove him crazy because he knew the Emes. So here you have two types of gaiva. So you have an arrogance that the person drives themselves crazy, they make themselves miserable, but it's built through a seichel dika system. And that's why the Navi says, Al yishal chacham b'chachmasai. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says in chapter 9, don't let your chachma or your strength or your wealth or your brilliance get to your head. Realize that it's not koichi v'oitzim yadi. You're not responsible for it. You didn't give yourself all these gifts. Sometimes people think, it's all me. And even if they know it's not them, but still they feel that they could demand it. So this creates a form of yashas, a form of gaiva. And the same is true with many of the different middas that can destroy a person's life. But there's a seichel dika process. And therefore, you can kebayle kach paltai. The way you absorb it is also the way you could spit it out. It came in through wrong information. It can come out through correct information. That's the process. Amalek represents something else. Amalek, it says, is chutzpah beloy taga. It's chutzpah without a crown. It's a king without a crown. He doesn't even need a crown. He doesn't even need a process of rationalization, of justification. It's like irrational hatred. Irrational hatred is hatred. It's not even based on a svara. It's not even based on a wrong svara. It's hard for people to believe such a thing exists. Because we... Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
Their hatred is not based on...
And that's Amalek's hatred. Amalek's hatred is, your existence drives me crazy. Not that your existence is a threat to me because I feel you want to take my territory or you want to destroy my family. Or you want to do something to me that will take over, you want to take over my, like Parai had this perceived threat that the Jews really want to take over the country. Amalek didn't have this. He was living far away. Mind your own business. Live a good life. Why are you destroying your own life? To go into a war that's unprovoked. Nobody's triggering you. Nobody wants anything from you. They weren't even passing by his country. Not even going around his country. The issue was the metzias of the Jew drove him crazy. Somehow he can't sleep at night if the Jewish people are in existence. And when he heard about Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and all the nations were overwhelmed with awe and reverence, Amalek said, I'm going to jump into the hot bath and make it cool. I'm going to get burnt. It's worth it. Because the pain of your existence is much worse than the pain of me getting destroyed, at least by knowing that I'll take you down. Imagine. Like the Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir who said, yeah, peace will come when the Arabs will love their children more than they hate our children. So when my love to my child is at least as powerful as my hate to your child, is hope. But when my hate to your child is more intense than my love for my child, so I'm ready to have my children suffer and perish, just I could take down a few of your children. It's hard for Jews to understand this. It's hard for people to understand this. So in a crazy world, what do? They say, this can't be. So it must be Israel is so evil. Because it can't be. Nobody wants their children to die because they hate other people's children. Even if I don't like your kids, but I like my kids more. So do something for your own kids. Forget about anything else. For your own kids. Your own kids are going to die. I hate your guts, Mamish. Fine, I hate your guts, but I also love my guts. I hate your guts, and I love my guts. So it must be that the Jews are so evil that they are doing all of this. But I'm explaining to you, when you don't understand all these things, how corrupt the mind can go. You become completely meshuga. And then Jews themselves start questioning themselves because they don't know who they are anymore. That's why you have to remember Amalek every day. Why say Zachas Hashalach Amalek? Because if not, you become crazy. You don't know the boundaries anymore. You don't understand what a Hitler is. You don't understand these people.
Is it possible that Amalek wants just a covert
because there is really no substance in him. But the only way he can get forward is actually be famous in the news, at least kill somebody to be famous.
Could be it's a major part of it. He needs that attention, that validation, that existence. The yeshus of Amalek doesn't allow another metzias to exist. This is a different type of hatred. And the same is true with gaiva. There's a gaiva, there's an arrogance, it's completely not al pi seichel. It's not coming because of success. So you could, that's zechayin. That's what he says. It's chutzpah b'li tam. The worst thing you can do in these situations is try to negotiate. Try to be rational. What that does is, it only proves to your enemy how weak you are, how stupid you are, how vulnerable you are, how frail you are. Because the whole basis of the gaiva doesn't have to do with seichel. So it didn't come in that way, it's not going to come out that way, and by doing that, you're simply ceding precious territory of your mental space to this gaiva, and it's not going to succeed. And the same is true within every person. And he says, that's what happened with Amalek. There was a hot bath, everyone was in awe, and he came to fight, it was a chutzpah and gaiva belita. In a person's life, we have this also. Sometimes, we have such blockages, with seichel, I'm not going to win. And he says, here the avoda can't just be with nefesh, ruach, neshama, here you need chaya, and here you need yechida. Only chaya, and especially yechida, can fight Amalek. Why? Nefesh, ruach, neshama, koyches pnimim. Any koyach pnimi is always limited. What's pnimi? Pnimi means it's integrated into a system. If it's integrated into a system, it has a measurement, it has limits. That's how it is. Nefesh, ruach, neshama are related to certain organs, they function in a certain model and certain structure, and that's their blessing. But because it's koyches pnimim, they can affect the parts of the nefesh abahamas that is also integrated and has a measure, has a limit, has a structure. But those parts of the nefesh abahamas that have no hakbalas, if you come with hakbalas of kedusha, you're not going to be able to touch that. You have to come with the part of holiness that's infinite, that's unlimited. The parts of the nefesh abahamas that live in hakbala, they're limited, they have a structure. So the structure of kedusha can work with them and transform them. But the parts of the nefesh abahamas that have no hakbala, there's an insanity there. It's a complete insanity. You might call it active trauma 24/7. If you come with the part of your elikus that's b'hakbala, you're not going to win. You're not on the same frequency. There's a power here that is much deeper than you. Amalek has a sense of infinity with cheshbonis. You'll come, let's sit down by a table. I'll explain to you the benefit. I don't care about your explanations. Which part of you can win? Only yechidah shebenefesh. Now you need yechidah shebenefesh. He never has no hakbala. It's Ein Sof. Be'emes Ein Sof. Somehow Amalek understands that. Amalek gets it. He knows that's the threat. That's the threat. Mitzad yechidah shebenefesh, you could be mevatel Amalek. Without that, you can't be mevatel Amalek. This is called the koiches makifim of the nefesh elikis. Not koiches pnim, but koiches makifim. Makifim means not it's around you physically. It's above being limited in a certain keli. That's why it's called makif, right? Pnimi means it's limited by a certain keli, because it's manifested through the keli. Nefesh, ruach, neshama. Chaya is beyond, and then yechid even deeper. That's the main nekuda we explored. He needs a different inyan. He needs yechida. That's what he says. The koiches pnimim are kshurimim havana v'asaga, so it's b'medida v'hagbala. Medida means a measurement from the word medid, madud. It's measured. And mugbal means it's limited. It's holy. It's divine. We're talking about the nefesh alakis. We're talking about gold godliness. But it's b'medida v'hagbala. So it can affect those things that are connected to medida v'hagbala. The parts of the nefesh abahamas. And there's a lot of that that's connected to medida v'hagbala. You can affect it. And that's what we learned before. How you talk to it and you explain it. You have to get the nefesh abahamas into the prefrontal cortex, and then you can explain, you could communicate. And that's very powerful. But the inyan she'ein by hagbalas v'taimim, something that has no hagbalas and no taimim, if you're going to come with the power of hagbala, you have no access to it. It's much more intense, it's much more powerful. So it's not like chas v'shalom, you give up. No, now you have to tune in to your own kaiches makifim, to the part that's completely lamayla min haseichel. Not lamata min haseichel, it's lamayla min haseichel. How do you know the difference? If you're threatened by seichel, I tell you, how do you know if something is higher than seichel or lower than seichel? If it's lower than seichel, you're threatened by seichel. That's what we call a cult. Why? Because you may hear something that's going to challenge you. When you're l'mailam in a seichel, you're not threatened by seichel. You're not threatened by it. You just know its limits. You appreciate its limits. You know till where it can go. And afterwards, you know, it could bring you to certain places. But afterwards, it simply has no, it can't take you to certain places. You need a different fuse. You need a different vibration. You need to tune into a different frequency in the soul. It's a different frequency. It's a frequency lemaila mehagbala. Vos Frexter, what do you ask? Oh, there's no mashal for it. Yechid, the mashal and the nimshal are the same. In Yechid, there's no mashal. Yechid, the mashal and the nimshal are the same. That's Yechid, huh?
I said the war against Hamas.
Including the Hamas inside. There's also the Hamas inside of a person. You're right. We can hallucinate about everything. You're right. That's true. We can hallucinate about everything. But when I hallucinate, ultimately I'm going to wake up from the hallucination. You wake up from the dream. You understand what I'm saying? That's how I know I'm hallucinating. I'm going to wake up from it. And if I never wake up from it, no, so it's a chalom and gesunte hate. But if I'm taka hallucinating, I'm going to wake up. When I'm not hallucinating, you don't wake up from it. Why? Because you weren't hallucinating. It was real. So if it's coming from a place of hallucination, I'm chapping madregis and chapping malachim, I also wake up from it. And then it's very painful. So either I go into a deeper hallucination, or I become very broken and cynical. Or the third thing is, start learning chassidus be'emes, and I'm working on myself. That's the third option. They say about the Psim Chabinim of Pshischer, the Psim Chabinim once gave a marshal. So he said that there was one Sayyid. He bought himself a gewaldiger horse. It was like, you know, top of the line. You know, the Tesla of horses. Top. Expensive and healthy and handsome and beautiful and fast and powerful. Amazing horse. Loyal, dedicated. You know, they're called the horse of the Kazakh horse. And he was afraid somebody's going to steal it. So he hired a shomer, he hired a guard to stay there all night by the corral, by the stable, to watch the horse. It's a shomer sachar, a real shomer. And the Jew goes to sleep, but he can't fall asleep. Because he's afraid what happens if the shomer falls asleep and somebody steals the horse. So every few minutes he gets out of bed, gets dressed, and goes outside to see if the guy is still up. So Reb Simcha Binim says, this fellow wakes up 1 a.m, he goes outside, oh, Baruch Hashem, the Shomer is there, he's up, his horse is there, he says, how is it going? He says, fine. He says, are you going to fall asleep? He says, no, I'm hired to watch. So he says, what do you do when you get tired? He says, I'm thinking about things to entertain me so I don't get tired. He says, what are you thinking about? So I'm thinking about a bagel has a hole in the middle, right? My question is, when you eat the bagel, what happens to the hole? Where did the hole disappear? That's what I'm busy with. He says, oh, that's good. Continue thinking about that question. Goes back, can't fall asleep. So now a lady comes back out. He says, you're still up? I'm still up. He says, how do you keep yourself? I'm thinking about interesting things. What are you thinking about? He says, I'm thinking about people who have long beards. When they go to sleep, do they put the beard on top of the blanket or under the blanket? Right? And it's a very interesting question. What do they do? How do they do with it? He says, oh, very, very good. Continue. And that's how the night went. Anyway, at some point, he comes out, takes a look, and the horse is not there. The ganav came. Asher yagurti bo, what he was afraid of happened. So he goes over to the guy and he says, what's going on? He says, I'm thinking. He says, what are you thinking about? I'm thinking about the fact I'm here and I'm thinking about all of these interesting things. How did the horse disappear? That's what I'm thinking about. So Reb Simcha Binyamin Pshischa said, that's true about a lot of people. They're busy thinking and thinking and thinking and the horse disappeared. So I'll call upon him. When you're talking about Yechidah Shebe Nefesh, it's the union of Lamayla Mehagbala. Because it's Lamayla Mehagbala, so therefore over there, there's no Menagid. And even the Menagid of Amalek dissipates. And that's what he's going to continue. Du verstehst? A bissel?
You've lost the words. When you're at that level, the normally.
There's no opposition. Like he said in the end, he said before beautifully, in this p'chinah, there's no other metzias that you have to be mevatel, because there's no metzias outside of Atzmus and Mohosein Seif.
You can't really get there so easily, so often.
We're always there. Yechid is always there. Yechid is the reality. When there's no blockages, Yechid is not a level. Yechid is reality. When there's no blockages, we're in reality. That's it. You understand? Everything else is based on a filter, on a cover-up, on a blockage. So the question is which frequency I'm tuning into. Yeah. Yeah. It's a completely different, it's a different inyan. When you're there, you know it. But everyone is there. You're be'etzim there. In Chassidus, Mashiach is called, Mashiach, it's the Yechidah HaKlalas. That's the name in Chassidus, in the Maimonides, Mashiach is called Yechidah HaKlalas. The collective Yechidah of Klal Yisrael. That's a definition. Yechidah HaKlalas. What's that Yechidah HaKlalas? There's Yechidah HaProtis. The Moir Yenayim writes, Reb Nachum Schnabel says, everyone has a nitzutz of Mashiach, a spark of Mashiach. When everyone reveals their nitzutz, all the nitzutzes together, creates the collective Mashiach. In other words, the collective Mashiach is not a person comes down on a donkey, says, yeah, I'm here to redeem you. You could continue eating sushi and I'll liberate you. Yechidah HaKlalis of Mashiach is really the accumulation of all the individual Yechidahs creating a large collective consciousness called Yechidah. But the Mashiach is the one who embodies it, so to speak, and therefore can inspire it, can arouse it, can help people achieve it. But that's the Nekudah. And that's the chiddush of number 5. That's what we spoke about Ne'ilu. We spoke about the fifth son on Pesach, the fifth cup, Kois Chamishi, Kois Shel Eliyahu. This is the fifth, which is beyond Atzilus, Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chai Yechidah. It's number 5, quintessence. HaChamishis LePara. It says in Zohar, HaChamishis, Yosef said, the fifth should go to Para. Dimineis Pidiyun Vizgalion Kol Nohain. And Para comes the word openness. All the lights are revealed. There's Pare down here, but Pare in the Shoresh, Priya, in circumcision, something called Priya. It's completely open. Right? You even remove the last Arla, the second foreskin that's called, there's Mila and there's Priya. There's two levels of a bris. You notice Shabbos by the bris. There's Mila and you stayed close? You weren't looking, okay. You were the Sandik? No. Sandik moment. Who was the Sandik? So he made a bris for an enikel, mazel tov.
So maybe why that's the Torah says chamushim itzuv b'mitzrayim. Maybe that's
chamushim alo. Chamushim is chamishi, yeah. Chamish is lepara. It's a b'chinas hayichida.
Not like a 1/5 slab.
Yeah. Yeah. An interesting thing, the Alter Rebbe had a minig, all the Chabad Rebbeim had a minig, at the end of the Seder, they themselves would pour back the fifth cup, the Kais Shalel, back into the bottle of wine. And it was a whole Seder Avoida. The Rebbe, when he would do a Seder, when his mother-in-law was alive, he would do a Seder with them publicly. Later he did private only with his Rebbetzin. So at the end of the Seder, he would take the fifth cup and put it back into the bottles with a funnel, and they would sing Keliato, Keliato. And it was a whole Avoida. It took a long time. What was the, just you taking the cup, you don't want to waste the wine, so you put it back in the bahams at Bal Tashkas. And then once at a Fabrengen, it was Shabbos HaGadol, Tav Shemem Tes Edinem, the Rebbe said a word. He said that the four cups, says in Arizal, the four cups are connected arba olamos. Atzilus bri yitzid asiyah. You go upwards. Asiyah yitzid. And that's also the four questions. The manishtana, the four shailas, is also connected to four olamos. And the four sons, you have the chachem on one side, the rosh is the other one. Atzilus and asiyah you always keep together. You need the two together. And then in the middle, you have tam and sheni yedei lishul. So it's the four sons. And that's why so many inyanim of Pesach are connected to number four. And then the fifth cup, which we don't drink yet, is the Kais Chamishi, is the Bechina of Yechida, which is connected to the Gula Hasida, the future Gula. He said, that's Yechida. That's Kais Chamish, the fifth cup. He says, but the real Aveda is to take Yechida and put it back into the Kelim. Bring it back into the Kelim. He said, and that's why the Nesiyim, the Rabbeim, they used to pour the cup back into the bottle after the Seder, because to bring the Chiddah back into the Keli from where it was taken, that's the biggest Chiddush. Right? So then I understood the whole Inyan. In other words, when Yechiddush HaBenefesh, there's moments Yechiddush HaBenefesh gets revealed. You see, even after October 7th in Eretz Yisrael, by a lot of Jews, some of Yechida. When Yechidish HaBenefesh gets revealed, it's not like you have questions, but you have answers. That's not the Vart. You're not in the frequency of questions and answers. So a soldier that volunteered to go into Gaza, he has a wife, he has children, he has a future, he's not being forced. There were 200,000 people who volunteered, they were all around the world to go back. After the Six-Day War, the Rebbe said of art, he said that as a soldat is gestanen in El Arish in Egypt, mitabix, it is given gilui elikus lamata. It was a revelation of elikus lamata. Why? Because the consciousness of that soldier was kulei mesidas nefesh. It was yichidus benefesh. There was no self. Because I have a country, and the country needs me to serve, and this, so therefore, it's not the word. Yeah, you have some. There's an akuta comes out that this is the only reality, and I'm embracing it enthusiastically, even though Al-Pisechel, a normal person, will say, let's talk about it, let's think about it, let's reflect on it. In that, when that self comes out, you know who you are, you know who you're not, and it's deeper than any other emotion in the world, because this is a nekuda of achdus, where you're one with Atzmus Ein Sof, and it's even beyond physical life. And you're going to tell me it doesn't make sense. You're right, it doesn't. You're right. Atzmus also doesn't make sense. Seichel is created. Yechida goes higher than creation. It's a nekuda of the Boire. Yeah, Vahikin Nagin HaMenagin, yeah. And there's moments of life that the Yechidus HaBenefesh is Nesoyder. And you're not being mevatel something, you're not fighting with your Nefesh HaBahamas, you're not fighting with addictions, you're not fighting with your Yetzirah. There's no Yetzirah there. There's no Yetzirah. Does God have a Yetzirah? The same Yetzirah that God has, Yechidus HaBenefesh has. Hashem have a Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is also part of Yechidus HaBenefesh. But that's not yet Geula. The question is, can Yechida go back into Kalim? That's already a whole other inyan. When I'm going to work, I'm operating with Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Daily life is not a war zone, hopefully. I mean, in Israel, it's not simple. But daily life, we live in structure, and we have to live in structure. You have a schedule, you're not in a war zone. There's relationships, there's ups, there's downs, there's stupid things you gotta take care of, like a flat tire. I mean, it's not so stupid, but you just gotta take care of it. You gotta go to a dentist because you have a root canal. Right? Your kid has an earache, the principal wants to, whatever it is. Kol chad lefum shura delay. Big things, small things, serious things, not serious things. Shtusim, nishkin shtusim. Shvigah's upset at you, you were supposed to make the sheva brachas. You can't make the Sheva Brachas. You ask somebody else to make the Sheva Brachas. Ekvelt, you're destroying the family. La'adu l'netzach netzachim. The Chiddush is Yechiddush HaBenefesh to be in Kalim. That's the nekuda. That nekuda, that level of pnimiyus hanefesh should permeate the nefesh ruach neshama chaya, because that's really the etzem of everything. So that's the idea of taking the fifth cup, putting it into. Now, in a person's life, let's see what this means. What does this mean in a person's life? One nekuda in a person's life is, just say one word that it's reflected in a lot of people's lives. It could be. What does amalek mean inside of us? What does it mean my hatred is irrational? I don't think I have irrational hatred. What does it mean your arrogance is irrational? I don't know so many people, at least in this room, that have irrational hatred or irrational arrogance. Am I wrong? Huh? The Baizik, am I wrong? Is there anybody in this room that has irrational arrogance, irrational hatred? You're not a malek, Baruch Hashem. But there's a malek inside. What's a malek inside? A malek inside could be very, very subtle. Doesn't scream a malek. And it's not necessarily bloodthirsty. But a malek is that there is an element of self-destruction that's not al pi seichel. It didn't come in with seichel, it's not going to go out with seichel. You have sometimes people, it's true about all of us, we all develop coping mechanisms in life, all of us. And those coping mechanisms don't come because people are choosing to do evil. Chlal not. The coping mechanisms develop because of our experiences and how our brain, our amygdala, we spoke in previous shiurim, how our brain responds to different situations, and we develop patterns and we develop coping mechanisms, and those become the operating systems through which we operate. Sometimes those coping mechanisms become so debilitating to the point where the person is living in what we call today active trauma 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not even conscious of it. If I'm conscious of my coping mechanisms, it's already the path to liberation. If I could say, these are my blinds, these are my coping mechanisms, this is what happens. So then I already have some awareness of it. The moment I have awareness of it, it's not in full control of me. When it's so deep that I don't even have awareness of it, in other words, it controls my awareness too. So anything I'm thinking about is filtered through that lens of active trauma. So even my ideas about it come through that. In other words, it's the full balabas over my life because it's not conscious. So it's completely in control of me because any I that I'm processing, it goes, first gets permission from my trauma before I can process it. This is where the gullus is so deep that I don't even know I'm in gullus. Like the Baal Shem Tov said, v'noichi haster aster. What's haster aster? The hester gufa is bahastara. The concealment is concealed. If darkness is called darkness, it's not so dark. It's dark, but it's called darkness. It has a label, like the story with Reb Nachman of Breslov, right? We're going to eat the wheat, and we're going to become a sugar, but we're going to put a sign on the forehead, ich bin a sugar. So at least when you look at me, you'll be able to say, Rabbi Y.Y., there's a sign on you, ich bin a sugar, so just you should know, bistam a sugar now. Okay, Baruch Hashem. This context. This context for insanity. But when the insanity is everywhere, it's not just on the forehead. So now insanity is normalcy. What happens so often, you constantly see it. What happens so often is that the forces have become ingrained so deep that my coping mechanism is the only reality I know, and I can prove it and I can explain it because it's so deeply ingrained. And if you come to me and you try arguing against it, I can't even register it, and I'll prove you wrong because I'm not coming from a seicheldika place. I'm coming literally from a survival. Somehow somebody who's challenging these patterns wants to kill me, at least in my own mind, even if really they love me. But I'm not capable of hearing that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you don't know what I'm talking about, it doesn't mean you're not dealing with it. It just means you don't know what I'm talking about. It means maybe you're dealing with it more than those who know what I'm talking about. Because those who know what I'm talking about, you know what you're dealing with. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it doesn't mean you're not dealing with it. It just means it's so deep that you don't even know what I'm talking about because you can't afford, at the moment, the system can't afford to say you know what I'm talking about. Because not me. The most powerful form of amalek is it doesn't call itself amalek. It calls itself normal. It even calls himself loving. If you'll ask Hamas if they're good people, of course we're good people. We want love in the world. We want God's love in the world. If you ask Hitler, are you a good person? Me? I want a beautiful planet. If you would ask Stalin, are you a good person? Of course. I'm the one fighting for justice. I don't know if there's a murderer in the world who calls himself a Ritzeach, a monster, a gangster. He calls himself the Tzaddik Hador. I just have a different version of what a Tzaddik looks like. I kill 50 million people. I gas them, I mutilate, I torture, I behead. That's my version of tzidkus. But I'm a servant of truth. Not to compare, chas v'shalom, to compare. But everything exists in microcosm in a very subtle way. The Amalek inside of us doesn't call itself Amalek. If he calls himself Amalek, it's shana halbetzada. It's shana already good. He calls himself Amalek. He doesn't call himself Amalek. He calls himself goodness, normalcy. And the truth is, I developed that because these patterns somehow allowed me to survive. And if it's so deep, it's not even conscious. So then it's completely took over the entire operating system and all my seichel and all my middos and all my avodas Hashem and the learning all the busa and machshavos, whatever you're learning, it's all through that filter. In other words, Amalek is the one who has to give a haskama on any shir that I hear. Amalek, I have to go to Amalek and say, you agree? If Amalek agrees, I take it. If Amalek doesn't agree, you say, he's an idiot. Or today was apikursus. Or this is not according to my Messiah. Baruch Hashem. Or even worse, that's Nachmel, at least his opposition. Or even worse, I already knew it. Yeah, I'm already working on it for years. Or, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. But the bottom line is, when it comes to the actual behavior and the actual trigger, it's not affected. The worst thing a person could think that they're going to do is they're going to talk themselves out of this system. Because it never went in through words, it's not going to go out through words. It didn't go in through seichel, it's not going out through seichel. Nobody persuaded you to be this way, nobody's going to persuade you not to be this way. This is operating in a very, very deep, deep, deep place. It's called primal. It's called pre-verbal. In other words, it's koiches makifim shebenefesh. It's a different level of the nefesh habahamas. Here, I must go to my own chaya yechida. Your chaya, especially your yechida, can't be traumatized. Why? What's yechida shebenefesh? Yechida shebenefesh is the nekuda in the soul that's one with Atzmos. So anything that you experience with Yechida is always from a place of infinity. So it's Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi. What's the whole union of Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi that we always talk about? That Hashem is present everywhere and yet He's not changed. How can that be? So you're not present. If I'm present, I'm changed. The Chiddush of Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi is that I could be Lamata Adin Tachlis. Present, fully embodied. But every nekuda over there is experienced and is part of the Ein Sof. We're processing it differently, that's true, because we have limited tools to process reality. Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi means no outer reality changes me because every reality is experienced within from Ein Sof. Yechidah Shebenefesh is the pchin of Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi. So Yechidah Benefesh could be fully embodied, fully present, go through any experience you went through, but in Yechidah Benefesh, the way it's experienced is from a place of Atzmus Ein Sof. Now when infinite consciousness, having a finite experience, in Rabbi Yaakov's famous t-shirt that we're still waiting for, when infinite consciousness, your wife's t-shirt, when infinite consciousness is having a finite experience, it's not finite. It's infinite consciousness going through it. That's what we learned in the Maimon Bas Lagani about Yosef. What was Yosef's koyach? Yosef's power, he wasn't detached from the world. He went through things that are insanity. And that's why the Shvatim couldn't understand. How can Yosef remain in Dveikus when you go into such lowly places? The answer is, Taka mitzad yechidah shebenefesh, without yechidah shebenefesh, you can't. Mitzad Yechidah Shebenefesh, Yosef could fully go into those places. Be affected by them. What do you mean be affected by them? Be in a relationship with them That's what I mean. In fact, being in a relationship with them, he had to run the country. He couldn't be up there. He wasn't in the stars. He wasn't living in a higher reality. Yosef had to run the economy. So he had to be fully, fully connected to the reality. But because Yosef was anchored in the pchin of Eirin Seif, Lamata Adin Tachlis, so Ani Hashem Leisha Nisi, so therefore fully present in that place, he goes through everything. But the way Yechida experiences it is it's an experience from Atzmus Ein Sof. It's an experience of Ein Sof. So therefore, there's nothing outside of Ein Sof here. And from there comes all the healing in the world. Because it's not that you went through all these things, but there's a way out. In that space, you watched it all happen. You experienced it all happen. But your infinity was not tarnished a bit. On the contrary, this too was part of your Ein Sof. And therefore, this actually just allows your infinity to shine much, much more, because your infinity could shine even through darkness. Did you hear what I said? This allows your infinity to shine much more, because now your Yechid Shabbanefesh shines through darkness, where other people's Yechid may not shine through darkness. Now, it's much easier to give a shiur about this than to experience this. Because as I told you many times, the dark forces inside of us don't come to the shiur. They come, but they're doing their own thing. They're planning the next attack. So in the shiur, it's nice. You could sit and smile and even have a seirus. But when it happens, it's like you could take the shiur and throw it into the Hudson River. No yechidin, no nefesh, no ruach, no shama, no amalek. It's called miserable. It's called darkness. It's called toxicity. I got it. And that's why if you hallucinate, it becomes a disaster. But if you don't hallucinate, this is where the avoid is. The avoid is, I have to deal with nefesh and ruach and neshama. And yechidah is not something that you do to bypass other parts. A person does avoidah with all the parts, because that's where we have to live. That's part of dira b'tachtoinim. As we saw, Atzmus wants to go through the whole Seder Ishtalshalos. You have to go through the Seder Ishtalshalos. But Yechidah Shebenefesh means, when I work through Seder Ishtalshalos, the point is to get to the point that's beyond Ishtalshalos. And beyond Ishtalshalos, there's only oneness. It's Atzmus Ein Sof. And over there, it's not that you're sick and you became healthy. You were never sick. You couldn't be sick. That's why when Yechidah HaKlalos, when Mashiach gets revealed in the world, it's not just Gullus is over. Gullus is transformed. You understand the difference? When Jews are going to look back when Mashiach comes at Golos, they're not going to say, wow, that was real, real, real Gehenim, but it's worth it for free tuition, free mortgages, nice real estate, no Shidduch crisis, no illnesses, no social pressure. And tuition won't be killing everybody. Okay, that's not the Vart of Mashiach. The Vart of Mashiach is that they're going to look back and say, ah. And that's why we don't understand what Mashiach. When we talk about Mashiach, we're projecting Gullus onto Mashiach. Understand? We talk about Mashiach, there'll be free food. You'll have an endless smorgasbord when you come home for dinner. You won't have to wait for your wife to cook dinner or go order out. Every kid that needs a shidduch will be a shidduch, and there'll be mental health and physical health, which I'm, chas v'shalom, I'm not minimizing it. I'm not minimizing these blessings. God forbid. But we're projecting our Gullus understanding of blessing onto Mashiach. What we have now in good days, we'll have constantly. Okay, Gewaldig, that's not Mashiach. That's a little tiny fragment of it. I'll tell you why. That Mashiach doesn't justify a Holocaust. That Mashiach doesn't justify 2,000 years of atrocities. Doesn't, sorry. Forget about a Holocaust. Doesn't even justify the innocent torture of one child. Doesn't justify. Why does the Navi say, V'haya b'yayimahu, that day they're going to say, Oitcha Hashem ki anaftabi. Thank you. Somehow Gullus will be transformed. Gullus, Goyle and Geula is the same word. Geula is an Aleph. You put the Aleph into Goyle, you have Geula. In other words, Geula is not different than Goyle. Geula is revealing the Aleph, the oneness, the Yechidah, Yachid is one, in Goyle. Yechidah HaKlalos redefines your whole experience of life. Is it possible for you to be able to embrace every part of your life and start dancing? That's the nekudah of Yechidah. Not despite what happened. I'm strong. I'm resilient. I became stubborn. That's not Yechida. I didn't become stubborn. Yosef never became stubborn. That's what when we learned about the Baal Shem Tov, that he davened tefillos, and he only was succeeded at the end of his life, that Friday night, he should still be able to answer people's questions. Yeah, we learned in the Maim of Basi Lagani, Tavshin Chaf, which is Chav Dalet. What's Pshat? To answer people's questions, you have to relate to them. I can't tell them, oh, in Gan Eden, you'll see the answer. Somebody comes to me and is struggling, I'll say, in Gan Eden, you'll find out the answer. That's not an answer, sorry. It's true, Gan Eden, you'll find out. Or say, everything is good, it's perfect. Everything is good. Yeah, my life is falling apart, it's all good. That's not an answer. The Baal Shem Tov could have said that. That's not an answer. The Baal Shem Tov asked that he should be able to answer the person. In other words, you have to relate to his predicament, to his challenge. But Friday night was Aliyas HaOlam, Aliyas HaNeshama. That connection can only happen Mitzad Yechida. Because Mitzad Yechida, you could be fully present in every place. The Yechida doesn't need Bittul. Bittul means you have to disengage from the ego, but in Yechida there's L'chadchila no ego to disengage from. So mainly you don't need Bittul. Amalek doesn't exist when there's Yechida. I'm defining Amalek in our life when we're living with forces that are not rational. And through sitting rational, you know, that's why talk therapy could be very, very limiting. What's talk therapy? Even though for decades it was the Yisoida, Yisoida, Yisvamud, the Chachmas, and the remedy for everything. From another Jew, Dr. Freud, Meret, 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 Meret. Things that came in through words can go out through words. Things that didn't come in through words, Amalek's gaive, chutzpah, sinne, meshagasen, self-destructive qualities didn't come in through words, it didn't come in through seichel. How did it come in?
How do you relate to that? I can't get any mechanism.
Because you're looking, you're thinking about Hamas. Right, of course, I can't relate to it and you can't relate to it, because the you that we know of is part of it. Right, so that's the predicament. The I that's trying to figure it out is the I that has been defined by these coping mechanisms. You know, it's like when you take the ganav and you make him the shomer. Imagine you take the thief and you say, you're going to protect the treasure. The problem is, this guy is the one who you're protecting from. We take our mind, which has been affected by trauma, and we use our minds to tell us how to heal. The mind is the one that needs the healing. We take the words and ideas and we say, you're going to be responsible for my healing. They're the ones, I'm protecting the treasure from this ganav. They're the ones that need the healing. What, doesn't make sense?
Yeah, I can't
relate to it, so that's why it doesn't make sense. Does that mean
there's nothing that you could do that will destroy?
The Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi is Yechidah Shebenefesh. So it's indestructible. It says in Zohar, the first two Batei Mikdash were built by people. What people build is mortal. It has an end. That's what it says in Zohar. It's Hashem's building. So it's nitzchi. What does that mean? It means as long as I'm holding on to a human structure, I'm holding on to something temporary. When our structure is a human structure, I build myself up and I'm a powerful person. I built myself up. I'm also going to have a churban beis hamikdash. When you surrender the need for having a human structure and you allow it to be a divine structure, it's eternal. But for that, we need the death of ego. As long as my ego is building my Beis HaMikdash, it's going to have a churban. It must happen. Because it l'chadchila doesn't have a real eternal existence. It says this in Zohar. The third Beis HaMikdash is Binyan HaDekut Shebrich. What does that mean in a person's life? It means what's building up my life is not me. What's building up my life is that I gave up the need for me to build. I'm a channel. Once you're a channel, you're indestructible. The Rebbe once said it also me. Bittul is the einzige Sache, was kann ich bottle werden. Bittul kann ich bottle werden. Everything else can werden bottle. Bittel can't be bottle. How you mevatel bittel? Tell me, what do you do? You mevatel it. Bittel says, good. Mer, 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 mer. Yeshus, you can be mevatel. Bittel, you can't be mevatel. How you mevatel bittel? You kill it. Good. That's what it's asking. How you mevatel bittel? Last time you were having klois hanefesh, today is the opposite. You don't have a moloch. Okay, it's the machbasa.
A coping mechanism. You mean like, let's say, I'm not talking about drugs. Let's say anger. That's a coping mechanism?
All midas rois have a coping mechanism. Sometimes the coping mechanism is developed in a way, right, that it came in, it can go out. There's explanations, right? And it's important. It's important to do that. Sometimes there's levels of blockages that are so, so deep. Fears that are so deep, we're not even ready to acknowledge that they exist. Trust me when I tell you, we have many people that are in active trauma 24/7, completely unconscious. They're functional people. They make money. They're successful. They're honorable in their community. They're dignified people. They're actually good people too. They're intelligent people. They're resourceful people. Some of them are brilliant people. Some of them are very charismatic people. I could add another few adjectives if you want, but trust me. What do I mean?
I actually have an example of all that was in, but I'm afraid to speak about it.
You're afraid to speak about it?
Well, maybe I should.
Go ahead.
Can I?
Sure.
I have a suffix about my personal death to the point that I sometimes feel that I'm in dread, die. And I have a suffix that the death is not true, and I will wake up and I will be in tachritim and I would not be able even to move and stuff like that. I have that deep fear. And I think it's beyond even trauma or rationale. Maybe I was buried alive in the previous lives or whatever it is. But that's the suffering I have, which tortures me constantly.
Mm. So you viscerally imagine that? That you're going to
viscerally imagine. I even have my dreams about even my mother, that she comes back and she said, why did you bury me? I was alive.
Wow.
Most people's the other way around. They're scared to die.
No, no, he's scared that he's going to die, they're going to bury him, but he's not going to be dead. He's going to be alive, buried alive.
Yeah, I'm afraid to be buried, so I have a suffix about the death, that the death is not a real death. And
this is a constant experience.
Is it like a suffix? Because I feel it's maybe that's my amolek, because amolek is related to suffix.
Amolek is the gematria suffix.
Yes.
Amolek is the gematria suffix. The deepest self-doubt comes from Amalek. The deepest self-doubt.
So is it that Amalek was in me? Is it not me?
You have to answer that question. I can't answer that question.
It tortures me, but it's...
Your Yechidah Sheben Nefesh has to answer that question.
No tools for it.
Any mushroom?
I have a mushroom.
What do you say, mushrooms? Oh, you're saying he should have mushrooms. Okay. Maybe you need unique tools for this, not the regular tools. Okay. We have some people with different resources here in this room. So you'll talk to the Avram and give different suggestions. There's suggestions for this. You're not stuck. So I think you're touching on something very important. And that is, you know, you have a very, you're aware of this, yeah? Many of us have a lot of these types of things, but we're not conscious of them. But they're always there. It's like a operating system of the computer at the back end. It's always there. It's always functioning and it's governing all my thoughts, or at least many of my thoughts, my instincts, my feelings, my words, my behaviors, my attitudes, my reactions, my emotions. And now, yeah, I'm learning a sefer, and I'm saying, okay, so this is the pshat, einoid mulvadoi. So b'meila, this is how I should feel. But I don't realize my feelings were hijacked already by this back-end operating system that's telling me exactly how to react, how to feel, what to do. And it's a sinister monster deep, deep, deep inside. And that monster is already absolute. He's absolute. He runs the whole show. And only the emotions that he allows will I be able to experience. Because it all has to go through his filter. It all has to go through his lens. And it wreaks havoc. And for one person, it's crazy anxiety, or it's crazy fear, or guilt, or shame, or insecurity, or social anxiety, religious anxiety. Of course, depression and despondency and all types of cravings and yearnings, or fight and flight and fawn and freeze and disassociation and whatever. It's like a billion manifestations. You know, Amalek is one word, but he comes in, you know, 7 billion forms.
Isn't that something it's something that came into us from outside?
It could be a combination of 1,000 things. But very often, a very common thing is, as we're growing up and we develop, right? My Nefesh HaBahamas, in order to survive, right? Especially if it faced dysfunction, and who didn't face dysfunction, but some of us more than others. It develops certain voices, patterns, ways of responding to the world that will safeguard its existence. And you can't blame it. At its core, you can't blame it. It's a survival mechanism. And actually, in some ways, you have to be thankful to it because it kept me alive. Your Nefesh HaBahamas may have decided at 4 years old, right, that for you to be afraid of death every moment will be the healthiest thing for you. Your Nefesh HaBahamas may have decided at 6 years old that for you to be afraid that you'll be buried alive or tortured is the best thing for you. Plus, there may be, as he said, a past life thing. There were people who were buried alive. And if the neshama come, I don't know, I'm not an expert on all the possibilities. But there could be also, there's things of past life. There's epigenetics, there's trauma from previous generations. It's not one thing. We don't always know the full answer for it.
In my case, it happened in the previous generation as well. My father was buried alive.
Your father was buried alive.
My father was buried alive during World War II when the bomb came and put all the earth and buried him alive. And his brother noticed the shoe and pulled him up. But he would not be able to come out himself. He could not move. There was so
much. This is which year? Huh? Which year was your father buried alive? 41. Wow. How old was he?
He was 16.
1941, he was 16, and his brother schlepped him out from under the earth, and he survived. Wow. Well, huh? Here you are. Wow.
That's nice. Now I'm going to have. Now I'm going to have.
Thank you.
What? So thank you. Now I'm going to have. He's afraid he's going to start having these nice things.
It's different. It'll be different. It'll be different. Yeah. One second. My Nefesh HaBahamas may have decided at 5 years old, yeah, that for me to have an opinion is the worst thing for my survival. Really, really. And this person, 50 years later, doesn't have opinions.
Or the other way around. He always has to have
an opinion. Always have an opinion. If I don't have an opinion for a second, I'm done. The Nefesh HaBahamas may have decided that if I am not constantly doubting myself, or constantly being afraid of people, I'm committing suicide. And if I'm always afraid of people, even meeting somebody in the street, 3 seconds, Shalom Aleichem. They just say, how are you? What's up? And in my mind, I thought about it 20 minutes before the meeting, when I saw them from a half a mile away. I was already anxious. And then 20 minutes afterwards, I'm thinking about how stupid I was in the conversation. What is that? Right? Nothing, none of this is rational. You could say, I'll explain to you, that you shouldn't be like this. Yeshikoyach genius. Or you're getting upset, you're disassociated. Let me learn with you Abyssal Musar and tell you about Midas Royas, and I'll tell you what the Gehenim looks like. Shaita, he's in Gehenim already. For 50 years he's in Gehenim. You're going to tell him what Gehenim looks like? They sit with you and say, I'm going to tell you what your Gehenim looks like if you continue to be like this. The guy's in Gehenim already. 50 years in Gehenim. You're not going to describe to him any Gehenim he wasn't in already. This is what happens. He's trying to get out of his Gehenim, so you're telling him more Gehenim. Thank you. You're taking me back to the place I know already. And so the Gehenims we create for ourselves are the real Gehenims. Because the real Gehenim is a Gehenim that's all about healing. The Gehenims we create for ourselves, thus is Amos a Gehenim. It's not for healing. It's a real, real Gehenim. Not Shivim Medudah Gehenim, it's Ein Soif Medudah Gehenim. So now I'm describing all the beautiful problems. What's my solution for all this? Huh? That's your question, right? Well, so I don't have a solution for it. Of course it's essential for existence. Mitzad yichidus shebenefesh, nothing is a mistake. Nothing a mistake. Every experience in life is a journey towards yichidah. But to process that, I can't jump to yichidah. Because then I can go into denial. You understand? Yichidus shebenefesh is not denial. Denial is a river in Egypt. And part of people's lives. And we don't want to be in Egypt. Denial is a form of Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim Agvulim. You understood my joke? Okay. Yichidus HaBenefesh is not denial. Yichidus HaBenefesh is the essence of everything. It's not denial. If Yichidus is negating something, it's not Yichidus. If Yichidus is denying reality, it's not Yichidus. It's not oneness. Whenever you deny something, you amputate it. When you amputate something, it means it can't be part of oneness. And Yechida always has to be part of oneness. That's what Yechida means. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Yechida HaKlolus. And that's why Yechida HaKlolus of Mashiach can't deny Golos. It needs to transform Golos. If it denies Golos, it's not Yechida. It may be a nice thing to go into a different zone and amputate it. Sometimes we need that. But that's not the ultimate. The ultimate yichidah is the healing of everything. It's the tikkun. It's the bitter of everything.
Because once we reach that state, that you will see that everything in life was a challenge.
Everything in life was an experience of Atmos Ein Sof, which is phenomenal to have. It's more than even the phenomenal. It's part of the blissful oneness of the person with divinity. You become happy. To say this prematurely could sound callous, stupid, insensitive, and cruel. It's like, oh, it's everything is perfect. It's like La La Land. And the same is true with our Nefesh HaBahamas. Nefesh HaBahamas, you know, I'm Yechidus HaBenefesh, I don't have a Nefesh HaBahamas. No, no, of course I do. And that's why there's Nefesh, and there's Ruach, and there's Nesham, and there's communication, and I have to know which frequency the Nefesh HaBahamas is in. The more we get to know about Yechidus HaBenefesh and tune into it and make it our best friend, the more we learn how Yechidus HaBenefesh can become connected to all the parts of the person, because it's really all the parts of the person. And all the parts are really just there to facilitate the Gilui of Yechidah, the Hizgalus of Yechidah. All the parts are just there to facilitate the Hizgalus of Yechidah. That's always the biggest challenge, the tools to get there. The mindset we can have, but the tools to get there. Because Amalek doesn't go down so easily. I told you. Amalek sits by the shear and says, it'll soon be done. Don't worry, your wife is in the middle of texting you. Your son is in the middle of texting you. This is that. And then, and the triggers are there. And thank you, it's very nice to run into Gan Eden. Ah? To live reality, yeah. Yeah. So I think the first tool we need is awareness is very important. Awareness. The second tool that we need is to be able to notice things during the day. The more we can notice, they call it pause and breathe. Who just spoke about that? Pause and breathe, right? Rabbi Russell, yeah. Pause and breathe. Pause and breathe means I'm not reacting from the instinctive, familiar place. When you pause and breathe, you can actually watch things coming up. Right? Viktor Frankl said, between stimuli and response, there's a tiny little space. And in that space, all freedom exists. That space, right? My wife said something. My husband said something. My child said something. My employee, my partner, my friend, my neighbor said something, texted something. I saw something. There's right away, you're this, you're that, you're that, you're I'm this. Pause, breathe. I don't know what I am. I don't know what you are. I don't know. The pause and the breathe gives you, wow, wow. When a person begins to do that, they start noticing things. Another element is noticing your sensations, noticing your emotions, noticing where they exist and breathing into them. These are not things we have been taught as children. Let's just say this. And we haven't been taught this. So it's a lot of new things. We may have not understood it. So, you know, we have all these. And,
He just said to me, Moshe said something to me so profound.
What, he told you to take mushrooms?
He said,
that's what I heard.
Never be a prisoner to your past. It was a lesson, not a life sentence.
Beautiful. Never be a prisoner to your past. It was a lesson, not a life sentence. Right. Now, here's the challenge. The challenge is, it's a great line. He's going to send it out to his WhatsApp list. Oh, okay, good. The question is, the part of me that's experiencing itself as a prisoner did not decide to experience itself as a prisoner because of words. So the WhatsApp message is good. It's very good. And we send it to people we love, and it's a very good message. And I'll probably steal it for another class. Don't worry, I'll also use it. Hagoynev min haganev pater.
I don't know.
I'm just joking. It's fine.
No, it's an incredible
answer. Yeah, all the way till I'm talking. When we start noticing emotions, yeah, experiencing them, giving them oxygen, this is part of the process of awareness, of self-awareness, and with compassion, and with love. Sometimes a person needs another step, and this is a support system, to be able to help them go deeper into these patterns. I may not just be able to do it by pause and breathe, or even just having conversations with people. So that's why Hashem has given this generation a lot of different healing methods and opportunities that allow people to be able to break through blockages that have been very, very intense for healing. But also with tremendous sensitivity must be done, with awareness, with sensitivity, with respect. It's not for frivolousness and recreation and fun, chas v'shalom. You know, we're talking about very serious healing modalities that our generation has. And I think every person must find a support system, because everybody needs support to be able to integrate these truths, you know, before and middle and after. And then there's actual avoda, there's real practicing. You could talk and learn, and then there's real bringing it into practice. Pashut bringing it into practice. Lamashal. If somebody I have a relationship with, right, says something, and I find myself triggered very heavily by it, yeah, and I disassociate, can I bring that information back into the relationship? For example, can I talk to them about it? And it's not something I ever did. It's something that happened internal. But can I sit and I say, I need to talk about this? And it's very vulnerable and it's very hard. But I could say, you know, my coping mechanism does this. Do I have permission to share this with you? When we can have a relationship on that level, that's where the greatest healing happens. Take a husband and a wife, for example, right? Nobody triggers each other like a husband and a wife. That's how Hashem made it. 24/7, same house, same marriage. Mamacht einad ander de meshiga. Ezer kenegdoi, as the Netziv says, is literal. Ezer kenegdoi. Right? So very often, they drift. And they say, you have to behave nicely, you have to be a man. I heard somebody give a lecture about marriage. A little embarrassing. He said, treat your wife like a cheftza shel mitzvah. A cheftza shel mitzvah. Imagine you have a sefer Torah in the house. You have a Sefer Torah now. You have to respect it. You have to be nice to it. You don't scream at the Sefer Torah. You don't throw the Sefer Torah in the house. He meant very well. He meant well. Huh? When she comes into the room, you stand up. If you drop it, you have to fast for I don't know how long. He meant well. What was the nakuda? The nakuda was, right, how much are you going to have a relationship over there? It's a chefzer shel mitzvah. It's a chefzer shel mitzvah. It's not, there's no pnimizdik connection. Huh? There's something much deeper, right? Your wife is not a chefzer shel mitzvah. She's a gavra. She's not a chefzer. She's a person. She's not an object. Even not a chefzer shel mitzvah. And even a sefer Torah is nishta chefzer. It's also, there's energy there. There's kedusha. Kedusha is energy. Kedusha is not a chefzer. It's not a subject. It's a relationship. Yeah, there's a famous expression in Gemara, v'chi'orin gavrahu. The Gemara says in Brachas that Rabbuna said that Tisha v'arim etztarfen, 9 people with an Aron Kodesh can make a minyan. So I think Rabbi Nachman says to him, v'chi Aron gavrahu, the Aron is a mensch. A minyan, you need people, v'chi Aron gavrahu. So Rabbi Zusha v'anapol, he once touched to the Pinchas Balafla. He once touched, he says, what, Rabbuna thought the Aron is a person? He thought this is a person. So the Bzusha said, "I'm made a dikavod." He said, "V'chi Aron Gavri." He says, "Sometimes you have a person who's full of Torah, but he's like an Aron. It's all inside of him, but it's not him." That's what he meant. He said, "V'chi Aron Gavri." Who you think if you're an Aron, you become a mensch? You can have all the information inside. Sana Mola Safres, all inside of me. A computer, Google, is the biggest baki b'shas. Bavli Yerushalmi Sifri Sifrata Sefta, yeah. I feel the best of Reb Chaim Kanevsky, if I could say that.
It's like a donkey who carries the books.
Yeah, Tzana Mole Safri. The Gemara says, Chamor Mole Svarim. Huh? Noise Svarim. Chamor Noise Svarim. V'chi Aron Gavru, and Aron is a mensch. How did I get into this? I'm trying to forget. What were we talking about? Oh, you're a Cheftz Shal Mitzvah. Even a Sefer Torah is not just a Cheftz. So we trigger each other, right? But if a husband and a wife, I'm giving an example, but it's true with all relationships, could then sit down. And a husband can turn to a wife and say, I want you to know that when you said this at the Shabbos table, or you did this at the Shabbos table, or this happened yesterday with our kids, or with our grandkids, or whatever it is, yeah, the trauma inside of me was triggered from here till China, and I freaked out and I was overwhelmed, and I was fighting for my survival. In my mind, this was like pikuach nefesh. I felt horrific. I felt horrible. I felt like a shmata within a shmata within a shmata. So the wife could turn to the husband and said, yeah, I always knew you're a sick man. You know what happens? He goes back into the trauma for another 25 years. Locks the door again. Locks the door again. Because that just tells him that he was right for being so defensive. I live in a very dangerous world.
Your old wife.
Right. I tried to get married to come out of my loneliness. The marriage is only proving to me how lonely I really am. These are the people who feel much more comfortable in shul than in their house. Because in shul they never have these conversations. In shul you talk about Trump. You talk about Biden, you talk about Netanyahu. It's no problem. You eat a little lekach, some herring, you wait for the next yard site. Right? Nobody's looking at you and saying, what's bothering you? But in the house, we want to come out of our loneliness. But now the loneliness was reinforced. But what if the woman has confidence and self-awareness so she could look at him and say, wow, I'm sorry, that's hard, that's tough. Thank you for sharing it.
Not afraid.
Huh?
Not afraid.
Yeah. And how can I be here for you? She can reassure him. And the other way as well. A woman tells this to him, and instead of him looking at his wife and say, yeah, I always knew you need a psychiatrist. Or, oh, you're just like your mother. You're as crazy as your mother. You're more meshuga than your mother. Boom, you're done. But if the husband could say, wow, that's tough, that's hard, I'm sorry. But now what? Why can't people do this? Because what happens is your trauma triggers my trauma. So when you're telling me all these things about me, I lose my own confidence. You understand? And that's very, very hard. So now I attack back and you attack back. So it's two people in cages with terrible trauma. They can't look at each other because they're all disconnected. And they're trying to survive and they're both innocent. Now what happens if this does happen? Your wife or your husband does respond not in a healing way. Right? So I shared my stuff, and instead of getting a smile or a hug or a gesture, I'm getting another dagger when I already opened up. So now I'm a four-year-old, I opened up my wound, and instead of getting a caress and say, you're safe, what I'm getting is another stab. This is where the challenge is. At this moment, can you say, you know what? I'm fine. I'm fine. My soul is fine. My soul, I'm fine. My wife is having a hard day. My husband is having a hard day. They may not be where I am, but you know what? I need people to be here for my trauma. I also can be here for their. The moment I could say, the four-year-old inside of me wants to go back into Gehenna. Right? A Amalek will wreak havoc, create a cover-up that will completely disassociate me from me. If at that moment I could remain present and say, that's hard, but there's an adult in the room. It's called me. I got this. My three-year-old is safe. Nobody's destroying you. It's feeling a lot of pain. But I'm now going to go into the place inside of me, which is Ani Hashem Lo Yishanisi. That's real Avodas Hashem. That's called Avodas Hashem. Now, you just connected with God. It's very hard because the trauma is screaming. You're being stabbed a second time. You covered your heart at four not to have this. You shaita. 50 years I worked with you to protect you. And you went into Gaza and you took off your uniform and you're allowing a terrorist to literally stab you again. You know what? Don't come back to me crying. Don't come back to me. That's exactly the feeling. And it's not with words. It's more powerful. Doesn't root words. Every emotion in your being is saying, don't come back to me, you shaita. I protected you 50 years. You don't want to listen to me? Fine. Loser. Die. I'm not here for you anymore. I don't want to die, so what do? I attack right back. That's the moment that everything, for those of you who have been here for a few years, everything you learned in every mimer, either it's real or it's fake. How do you know if it's real or fake? That moment. That's the only moment that counts. All other moments, it's fine. We can zitzen, we can verbringen, we can schmoozen, not a big deal. It's nice, it's all good. That's the only moment that counts. When that moment, you don't go back down that rabbit hole. I don't fall into yiyush, to efkeris, to complete disassociation. That moment, I actually am present. And I tune into that part, you know what happens? You literally, physically create a new neural path in your brain. So that the next day, it's a little easier. And after doing this 40, 50, 60 times, it's almost, oh, how was I ever different? Why was I ever in Gehenna? I'm supposed to be in Gan Eden. This is called, that's what Avodas Hashem is. What does it mean to serve God? That's what it means to serve God. Serve God means you serve the God inside of you. You don't serve Amalek. You don't serve Gehenna inside of you. You serve God inside of you. You turn to God inside of you and say, Vazak stu Ribbono Shel Olam. Am I safe? Hashem says, you're safe. Am I good? You're good. Am I loving? You're very loving. Am I authentic? You're authentic. Is this person the embodiment of evil? No, your trauma needs to say that to protect you. Your wife is not the embodiment of evil. Your wife is a very good person. She has challenges. You also have challenges. Motza minus mina. Trauma finds trauma. I would even tell you that basically the Hashgacha often brings Shidduchim together because his trauma is the one that can heal hers and her trauma can heal his. But sometimes they have to fight for 25 years and kill each other till they figure it out. Because for 25 years it was trauma versus trauma, rather soul versus soul. The moment it's soul versus soul, Yechidus HaBenefesh with Yechidus HaBenefesh, now my trauma will help your trauma will help my trauma. But only if the souls meet each other. The Rebbe used to say the reason in Chabad it's called Yechidus, when a Chassid goes to the Rebbe it's called Yechidus, literally it's a private audience, Yechidus, like you're alone, nobody else is there. But he used to say that it's the time, as Ein Yechidus HaBenefesh, is Ich Miskashe Mid Tzveite Yechidus HaBenefesh. It's the time that Yechida meets Yechida. You understand? And you know what that means? Yechida meets Yechida. Understand the Avodah of the Rebbe, when he's starting Yechidus, he has to be in a place that he's ready to connect to the Yechidus HaBenefesh of somebody because he's inside his Yechida. That's why the biggest Avodah is within yourself, not within the other person. I told you once, the Mittler Rebbe stopped Yechidus for 3 days because he said somebody came to him with a crazy Aveda. And he knew if somebody comes to him, he needs to help them, but he can only help them if he finds it in himself. And he couldn't find it in himself. That means it's concealed, it's unconscious, so he had to work 3 days to find it. And then when he found it in himself, he started Yechidus. Because Yechidus HaBenefesh is never threatened by anybody, it never judges anybody. It never puts you into a box so that I come out the bright one and you're the stupid one. I'm the Rebbe and you're the loser. That's not Yechida. That's called control. Huh? He's trying to leave already 20 minutes and I kenished. Yechida lost nisht. The Yechida Shebenefesh lost nisht. That's what happens. When you start learning Chassidus, so the Yechida Shebenefesh, you try to go away, but the Yechida lost nisht. There's nothing to do. You have 1,000 explanations. Everybody will tell you, nah, medafnisht. Yechidus HaBenefesh knows everything. You can't fool it. You understand? So that's the moment that you touched infinity in yourself. Once you touch infinity, you heal. Because all healing comes from the place where there was no darkness ever. Not only there was no darkness, the darkness was part of your light. That's where all real healing comes from. There's lower forms of healing and they're all powerful there and they're all special. And everything should be cherished. It's not no extremes and to be radical here is insensitive. But the real ultimate healing comes when you touch Chaya and then when you touch Yechida. Chaya teaches you who you really are, not who you think you are. And Yechida touches the place where all darkness is transformed into light. Chaya you need to tell you who you really are. And that's what real Amunah is. Real Amunah doesn't mean you believe. Real Amunah means you see, your soul sees. Once your soul sees, you know who you are. You understand? The Baal Shem Tov never doubted if God exists. Why not? He didn't know about pain. I know about pain and he didn't know about pain. Yeah. Why not? Because once you touch Chaya, you know who you are. You know what you're seeing. You know what you're not seeing. A healthy person doesn't doubt, do I love my kid or I don't love my child? Or maybe I don't love my child. Because every father, sometimes, right, you say, this kid, take him. Not every father, a lot of fathers. Especially teenagers, you know. But if you're a healthy person, you don't doubt if you love your child. You don't. And if you do, you realize how much help you need. I am feeling all these things. You're feeling because you're having a bad day because you're stressed. Fine. So go do exercise, take vitamins, take a nap. I don't know, drink a black coffee, watch a clip by Rabbi Weil. I don't know, whatever. You'll figure it out. Chaya means you have to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, macht man sich meshigah. In the world of Seichel, there is a God, there's no God. I'm good, I'm bad, I'm evil, I'm almost evil, I'm almost good. You can't live like that. You have to go to Chaya. Malik always creeps in. So you must have Chaya. Chaya is you see, you know, it's clear, it's pashat, even if I'm not feeling everything. Once you go to Yechida though, it's not just you see. In Yechida you're one. You don't just see, you're one. And every frequency of the soul is valuable. There's nefesh, there's ruach, there's neshama. Now I'm in a place of emotions. You have to honor that. Now I'm in a place of seichel. You have to honor that. We don't say, once you go to yechidah, so kill nefesh, ruach, neshama. You don't know. If yechidah has to kill other parts, it's not yechidah. Yechidah can honor emotion. Yechidah honors intellect. Yechidah honors experience, behavior. Yechidah honors faith, commitment, because it is everything. It's not afraid of emotions. It's not afraid. I'm not afraid of your pain. You know why? I'm in your pain too. I'm not afraid of pain because I'm there too. Now, this is very emotional stuff. It's very emotional stuff because these are not words. Because when you're dealing with levels of pain, it's not words. People feel very real pain. It's visceral pain. Those of you who are in touch with pain, everybody's in touch with pain, but those of you who are in touch with deep levels of pain, especially from events in your personal life, you know when that spaghetti hits the fan, it's more powerful than anything else. How do I know that Chassidus is true? How do I know?
Believe it.
I'll tell you. Because in moments of insane pain, where there's nothing left, all the logic in the world is a joke. All the mathematics in the world is irrelevant. The pain is so gripping. It's so intense. It's so overwhelming. It's almost like you're being choked underwater. And the pain is so visceral and so real. And at that moment, you can't sell Bubba Mises. You can't sell Bubba Mises. And when I, or any of us, has the courage to allow the ego to die, and to allow the words of the Alter Rebbe, the words of the Rebbe, to flow through us, that's where every fiber of my being experiences the authenticity of it. And I know that nothing else in the world comes close to that. Nothing else in the world can replace that. And then I could say, oh, I'm not objective, I grew up there, and I grew up in this type of family. I know, I got it, I know how skepticism works. I've been there, I know cynics, I know skeptics, I have a skeptic inside of me too. It's one of the clowns inside of me is a skeptic too. I also know how to be skeptical. I've seen enough corruption, enough stupidity, enough meiselach and baba meises, enough cover-ups in the from community to know how to be skeptical. You can be skeptical.
That's a good cover.
Huh? Yeah, so skepticism, it's very powerful, and it's I'm objective. I could do that all day, all night. Right? But it doesn't get close. Skepticism doesn't get close to the truth that the Alter Rebbe touches. It's not even on the same, it's not on the same level.
Maybe it's right under.
Yeah, it's another form of escape. Yechid is not afraid of anything. It's not afraid of pain. It's not afraid of skepticism. Why? Because in Atzmus Ein Sof, it's Taka Einoid Mulvada. Okay. Because it's the truth. Not the truth in words, it's the truth in reality. Truth in words is not truth. Apologize to your client. Huh? As your judgment.
Now you can tell him, I know everything. It was worth 20 minutes to be delayed to tell a completely different thing.
The client will thank him.
Yeah.
The client will thank him.
Absolutely.
Oh, the client will thank him because what's going to come after? Yeah.
This class is brought to you by theyeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.